A very good morning to everyone. Our first case is number 06-4190, the United States against Archibani. Plotkin.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Gabe Plotkin, and I represent Labib Achbani. Mr. Achbani had a constitutional right to be present at his sentencing. And before the district court could sentence him in absentia, it had an obligation to ensure that Mr. Achbani knowingly and voluntarily waived that right. The district court did not fulfill its obligation in this case. It announced from the beginning that it was inclined to proceed without Mr. Achbani, and then after gathering minimal evidence, it found it more likely than not that Mr. Achbani voluntarily fled, and it proceeded to sentencing. That's an improper standard applied to insufficient facts, and it's an abuse of discretion. In addition, even if the voluntariness finding is proper, if this court were to find that, the decision to proceed in absentia is a discretionary one, and the district court under Seventh Circuit law was required to balance the public interest in proceeding in absentia against Mr. Achbani's interest in being present. And the district court didn't weigh those interests properly in this case. That's also an abuse of discretion. Both errors require that the sentence be vacated and the case be sent back.
Isn't there something to be said for encouraging defendants not to abscond?
There is something to be
said. And wouldn't that be actually going ahead and sentencing on that?
Well, it's a constitutional right. There's the Fugitive Disentitlement Doctrine, and I wasn't sure if that's where the court was going, but in terms of at the sentencing hearing, the Constitution says he has a right to be present, and Rule 43 carves a very limited exception to that rule, and to the ability to go ahead in absentia. And what this court has said is, like all waiver situations, the court is supposed to indulge every reasonable presumption against the waiver of a constitutional right. As this court demonstrated in the Watkins case on appeal, courts are subject to a rather searching inquiry in that situation. And to the extent there are any serious questions left unexplored about whether that right has been voluntarily waived, the case needs to be reversed and the judge needs to reconsider that decision. The issue is not to punish Mr. Achbani at the sentencing stage with respect to his not being present. The issue is to determine whether he has knowingly and voluntarily given up a constitutional right. I submit that the court didn't do that here. The government didn't provide evidence sufficient for the court to proceed. It left unexplored a number of questions in this case.
What evidence did they provide?
Well, I think what's notable is what they didn't provide.
Well, no, I ask you what they did provide. Didn't they provide somebody went to Austria of the same name?
They provided, yes, evidence that somebody using that name and a date of birth flew from Dulles Airport in D.C. to Austria in the middle of April.
Same name, same date of birth.
That's correct.
Isn't that conclusive evidence?
No, it's not. Because
what would you say we'd have to have for it to be conclusive?
Well, I think that the government was obligated to close other doors. First, I'll say
they've got the name, they've got the identification.
They have a name and they have a date of birth on the passport. They don't have a fingerprint, they don't have a photo, they don't have a witness to say that it was in fact Mr. Achbani. And I think it's
you
not
have
just
any
hypothetical
evidence to prove that their evidence is wrong.
I don't, other than to point out that the government had...
No, but you don't have any other evidence. The answer is no.
No, I don't have any other evidence. If I could move to the balancing test, which I think is another important issue that needs to be explored here. Seventh Circuit has said, with respect to Rule 43 and proceeding in absentia, that courts shouldn't proceed in absentia unless the public interest outweighs the interests of the absent defendant. This is, again, the Watkins case. Cites to a number of Second Circuit cases. And you're supposed to look at the burden on the government, the court, witnesses, jurors, things of this nature. And the district court didn't do that in this case. It kept asserting a generic interest in finality of the proceedings, which is certainly one interest, but didn't look beyond those to other public interests or to Mr. Achbani's interests. And I'd say here that the public interest in proceeding was minimal at best. There was no burden on anybody in this case to wait. There were no co-defendants who were prejudiced by waiting. There were no witnesses brought forward who were prejudiced by waiting. There's no trouble to the court or the government.
It's no trouble to the court to keep its calendar in confusion?
To simply set this on the fugitive calendar and allow until...
indefinitely, huh?
When and if Mr. Akbani is discovered.
Do they do that with all fugitives? Do you think that that's the way we should run the system?
I do believe that, yes, that we should wait until there's either conclusive evidence and the public interest clearly outweighs...
I mean, put them on the fugitive calendar.
I do believe we should put
them
on...
Just let it sit there indefinitely.
Yes, where the public interest does not outweigh the personal interest in being there. I do believe that's the case. With respect to Mr. Akbani's personal interest, which I don't believe the court took into consideration here, the government came forward at sentencing with new allegations against him, with different guideline calculations, and Mr. Akbani had a greater interest than normal in being present at a sentencing so that he could defend against those. This is what the law requires, that those interests be balanced. It's a limited exception that Rule 43 creates, and judges are only supposed... It's a discretionary decision within that limited exception as to when to go forward. And this court has announced, as have other circuit courts, that you only do that when the public interest clearly outweighs the personal interests of the absent defendant. And that balancing test simply wasn't done in this case. And again, there's nobody who is served by having sentenced him already and leaving the sentence out there without Mr. Akbani being present. No punishment is being served by Mr. Akbani. He's not in prison and cannot serve any prison time until he's found. And same thing here with respect to any victims. There is a victim bank here who would be entitled to restitution, and restitution was ordered. But sentencing Mr. Akbani in absentia doesn't further their interest. It doesn't get them any money any sooner. He doesn't have assets and cannot be that can be garnered or anything in his absence. So sentencing him doesn't prove any public interest. I will reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Plotkin. And we'll hear now from Mr. Hayes.
May it please the court, my name is Brian Hayes. I represent the United States in this matter. This court should dismiss the defendant's appeal because it should encourage the measured, cautious approach that the district court took in this case to its use of Rule 43 to sentence a fugitive defendant in absentia. As to the finding that the defendant was voluntarily absent, there's no error whatsoever here, certainly not clear error. As the court recognized, there's very conclusive evidence in terms of the record showing that someone with the same name, date of birth, and nationality left the United States for Austria while the case was pending. The marshals spoke with the defendant's most recent girlfriend, who said last time she spoke to the defendant, he said he was in France. The other interviews they conducted all provided evidence suggesting that Mr. Akbani was not a man who was looking to put down roots and stay in the community. They suggested that he was burning his bridges and preparing to flee. With regard to the court's exercise of discretion, it was clearly a measured, cautious use of the tool in this instance.
Is there any difference between absconding early on in the trial before there's an entry of a finding of guilt and absconding only during the sentencing period? Should the court, in other words, have waited simply because they had the judgment of conviction? All they had to do was wait for him to come back to decide what sentence to impose.
I think overall there is a difference in terms of the use of Rule 43 in those two situations, but I think the court's manner of addressing those interests in this instance was appropriate. I mean, Rule 43 was amended in 1995 to deal specifically with this situation, which I think shows that there is a public interest that the court and the law recognizes in bringing finality to these proceedings. The burden on the government in putting things on hold in this instance is certainly lesser than it would be in the trial situation. But in a case such as this, where in accordance with the rules, it's absolutely clear that the defendant was voluntarily not present, that he chose to remain a fugitive so that he couldn't be held to account for his conduct, that the court was exercising its discretion properly to vindicate the public interest in finality and in controlling its docket.
Do the committee notes on the change in the rule indicate why the committee recommended and the Supreme Court and Congress approved of the change in 94?
It's a pretty brief note, my recollection of the amendment's notes on that in the reporter. It simply said that it's being amended to deal with this specific situation where somebody who has pled guilty or been found guilty and in pleas prior to sentencing, that the court should be permitted to sentence in absentia in the appropriate circumstances. And we have those circumstances here. And in this case, as I was saying, the court used its discretion carefully, although it recognized that certain inferences could be drawn from his failure to appear the first time. As the record reflects, the court continued the matter for several instances for almost 3 months to further develop the record. And even after concluding finally that the defendant was voluntarily absent and determining what the sentence would be, the court stayed in position of the sentence for over 3 months. Once again, just in case there was something that wasn't apparent, that would give the defendant the opportunity to come back into court. Nobody knows where he is yet to this day, and I think that demonstrates that the court did exercise its discretion appropriately here. And if there are no further questions, I'll conclude.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. How much time does Mr. Plotkin have?
3 minutes.
Thank you.
Very quickly, with respect to the voluntariness finding, I do think it's worth pointing out this trip to this person who flew from D.C. to Austria. The government had Mr. Akhbani's passport, and it seems odd to me that if someone were to go and find and get produced some fake passport in order to flee from justice, that person would get
what
one.
What country's passport did the department have?
A Moroccan passport.
He had surrendered that.
Correct. That was in the custody of pretrial services.
Do we know what country's passport this individual was carrying who left the country?
I believe it's Moroccan passport.
So they were both Moroccan passports?
Yes.
Thank you.
And my point is, in the interest of indulging reasonable presumptions, that if Mr. Akhbani were to go and to get some kind of fake passport in order to leave the country, it wouldn't make sense that he would get one with his own name, his own date of birth, anything that could flag for authorities and get him caught upon leaving the country.
Would just coincidence happen to be a Moroccan passport with the same name?
Well, what I will point out, and I recognize that this cuts both ways, is that Mr. Akhbani was involved in a significant amount of cooperation with the United States, and among the people he was cooperating on behalf of the government were people who were producing fake documents. That's some of the people that Mr. Akhbani led the government to the extent that he gave them information about who he was and his name as part of that cooperation. It's not impossible that could happen. If there are any other questions, I'm happy to answer those.
Apparently not. Thank you, Mr. Plotkin.
Thank you.
Our thanks to